And the first reading is about Luke 1, 26 to 33. Are you the one who's going to read that? Okay, why don't you come here and put your paper on this, and these people will listen very closely. They told me they practiced their reading, so this is good. All right. Yes, you can tell them what verse you're reading.
Okay, so today I'm going to read Luke 1, 26 to 33. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel to Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
The first announcement, of course, we know was to Mary. And in Nazareth, if you went to Nazareth, you could visit two churches of the Annunciation. Can you imagine that? We can't decide which one is the right one. But this announcement was made by the angel to her that, and imagine the kind of thinking that would have gone, "You got to be kidding me at this stage of my life." And all of these things she carried on her heart. Now, what's in a name? A name is a very important thing. For if you've ever had children, you've probably looked through a book of names and decided what name you're going to call your children. And it'd be interesting to hear some of your stories of how you came up with the name that you named your child. But you can imagine how terrible it would go through life with a name like Harry Pitts. Or I'm a Fink. Now, these are real actual names that people have had to bear on their shoulders. And strange as they are, we knew a family in Melfort that they had three girls and they called them X, Y, and Z. Like, why would you do that to your kids? So names are very important. And names can be your identity. And in Judaism, it was very important for the names to be assigned to the child at birth. And then later on, if the name didn't quite suit, and there was always a meaning to this name, and if the meaning of that name didn't suit, they often changed the names. And so this here idea of a name, given his name will be Jesus, was something that was foretold by the angel to Mary. And there would be no forgetting about what he had told her. And so the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that the name Jesus was quite common in Israel at this time. And we know that he writes about 19 different Jesuses in his historical account of the Jews. And so the Bible only records one other person that had the name Jesus, and his name was Jesus Barabbas. Very interesting that this name after this now would be so sacred that no other, the name Jesus was not assigned after that, after Judas, Jesus Barabbas. And by the end of the first century, the name Jesus was no longer a common name, largely due to the reverence and the importance of this name Jesus. I thought you'd find that rather interesting. So we're talking about this name that was given to him, announced by the angels. And there are three places in history that the name took on special significance. Special significance. Excuse me. The first was, of course, before he was born. And the prophets had foretold about this Messiah being born 741 years prior to the date of the announcement to Mary. The birth was announced by Isaiah, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so later the prophet wrote descriptions of what this name actually meant, God with us. And he described it as Emmanuel, as a wonderful counselor. We had that already read. And the mighty God, the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Now, it's one thing to know him as Emmanuel, God with us. It's another thing to know him as God in us. Knowing him as the Wonderful Counselor. Knowing him as the Mighty God. Knowing him as the Everlasting Father. Knowing him as the Prince of Peace. And so the second time in Scripture the name Jesus is referred to is at his birth. And we find that in Luke 1:31, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "You will call his name Jesus." But the angel not only told Mary, but he also told Joseph as well. So the second time that Joseph is now included is found in Matthew 1:18-21. Which one of you kids is going to read that? Okay, come on up. The second time the name is used or spoken of. Okay.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Thank you. Well read. So this angel appears also to Joseph in a dream, it says, and said to him that he is to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Two different accounts of God assigning him this name, but far more significant is what this child would do. And Jesus came as the Savior of the world to save men from their sin. I'm sure that they had no idea of what the future would hold. Many know him by the name Jesus, but few have experienced his saving power. Now, there was a third time in history when this name took on a special significance, and that was when he died. And John 19:16-22, who's going to read that? You're going to read that again, Jada? Come on up.
John 19:16-22. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
Well read, Jado. So in John 19, we read this account of the names that were assigned, the sign that was written on in three different languages, and then the argument that pursued. He claimed to be the King of the Jews. What I've written, I have written. And what a title, King of the Jews. And it caused quite a stir. It caused a stir then at his crucifixion, and it's caused a stir ever since. Very few have received him, especially from the Jewish faith, that he is and was the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And what a price they paid for their rejection, and are still praying for that rejection of him as the Messiah. "We will have no king," they said, "ruling over us, but Caesar." And they're still crying that out and practicing that today. I wonder how Mary felt as she read the prophets and wondered how would this Messiah come to the world to save them. I wonder how she felt when he was born into this world in such a lowly state. What did she think when they nailed him to the cross? And what she saw now was much different than what she had envisioned of a Messiah saving the world. But the plan wasn't finished. And there would be one more place, one more time, where the name would be written for all eternity. that would put all people's hearts and minds at peace. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Maya? Did I say it right?
Philippians chapter 2, 9 through verse 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess. Acts 2:21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise we have in that. Acts 4:12, for there is no other name under heaven and earth whereby we must be saved. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's what makes Jesus more than just a name. He's more than just a name. Is he more than just a name to me, to you? We hear lots of music and stuff at this time of year. And the songs that still resonate with my heart are the good old carols that talk about the real purpose of Christmas. And that's being less heard and less accepted with as the days and the years go by. You got to be careful who you wish a Merry Christmas today to, by the way. You get all kinds of reactions. I said this in the church earlier, that when a young man who was speaking to our Seton group, we do a Seton lunch here at noon on Tuesdays, and it's been rather packed full of kids. We've had 80 kids plus. And when he talked about, how many of you kids know the real story that's in this book, the Bible, about Jesus the Messiah? Just a few hands went up. Now, maybe the kids were afraid, and maybe they weren't sure of what he was getting at, or he'd call them out on it. But I can tell you that's a pretty good indication today, right in our own neighborhood, how many kids, how many people today know the real story of what God did for this world. They're the ones that we want to minister to and tell them the reason for the season. Not only the reason for the season, but the reason they have for living, and that God would be a part of their life and change them forever. You know, there was a memorial set up some years ago. It was in 1982, I believe, that it was unveiled in Washington, D.C. And it was a huge memorial. It was unveiled, and it had it was a tribute to all of the vets that died in the war in Vietnam. Now, I know that we've had memorials since then, and there's been names put on different places for that as well. 9/11 would be one of them. But on this memorial, as I read it, I thought about this. There was 57,939 names that died. These were people that died in the Vietnam War. All these names were engraved in granite. And it took, in their ceremony of opening and unveiling this here, they had people reading the names. They do that with the memorial at the 9/11 site as well. And it took 230 people 2 days to read all of the names. They read approximately 100 names per hour. And they read with great emotion and a feeling of loss as they read. One mother whose son's name had been read was asked by a journalist how she felt about this ceremony. And she said, "These are not just names on a wall, but they are people in our hearts." And that struck the journalist, and he wrote about that. And I thought, those words too resonate with me when it comes to the name Jesus. He's not just written on signs. He's not just used as a curse word. He's my Savior. And he's in my heart. And Jesus was more than a name. And the prophets wrote about this wonderful name that would one day save the people from their sins. Jesus was more than a name that the angel gave to him. Jesus is more than the name that Pilate wrote and assigned on a sign at his crucifixion site. And Jesus is to be carried on our hearts because he changes us forever. Oh, we see his name in church signs, and we see his name sung at Christmas carols, and we hear his name being used in vain, but he's more than just a name. Having him in your heart, like a mother lovingly looks at her son's name on a wall and a tombstone and say, he's in my heart. Many today try all kinds of ways of meeting that deep spiritual need that only God can fill. His name as Messiah, to give his life for you and me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you say, well, perish, we're all going to go through death. Yes, we go through death, but there's life eternal for those in Christ. It's a great story. Makes sense. And people accept it or reject it. And opportunities are given in this time of year. Most of the world, as I understand the Christian world, we like to celebrate, of course, what we think is the Christmas day. But a good portion of the world has no idea and doesn't celebrate at all. You and I are very privileged to have the opportunity we have to have faith in something that's bigger and outside of ourselves and changes us from the inside out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the attentiveness of these people as we've talked about things that are of eternal matters. They're more than just the temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Help us, Father, to keep that focus that he's more than just a name. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And to have him and know him and recognize him as the one in charge of my life is such a great blessing and reward. So thank you for this time that we've celebrated here tonight, the time that the people have given of their own to come. I pray that this will resonate with them and they'll carry this on their heart. For we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'd like to introduce a chorus to you. Eunice, can you come and help me? It's about this name. I know you've been sitting for a while, so why don't you stand? I think we're going to have the words up here. It's Isaiah 9, verse 6. And there's been other songs written with these words. This is right out of Scripture. And if you don't know it, we'll sing it through twice, but try it with us. For unto